For those of you who cannot distinguish as of yet, that was Pankajangri Prabhu who has enlightened us this evening. They are the personification of our philosophy of simultaneous one and different. I'm sorry, inconceivably simultaneously one and different. They are so intimately connected in their hearts, in the service of Radha Madhava, that they do not even need to talk to each other. Each of them knows what the other is thinking. And then they could communicate accordingly in a way that the other knows what they're saying. And without another word, the other will know how they're reacting. But one can only understand these mysteries when one receives the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Sri Pankajangri Jananivas Prabhu Ki Jai. It is like one soul and two bodies, or two souls and one body. Sometimes it's hard to know the difference. Today we have come to Gambira. I know it is very warm in temperature, and all of you do appear to be somewhat inconvenienced by the heat and the lack of oxygen. So I will speak briefly. I don't know why you're laughing. Never have I heard such laughter for a brief announcement. Anyways, I may laugh at you at the end. After Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left for South India, the king of Orissa, Prataparudra Maharaj, approached Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. I have heard that a great saint from Bengal has come to Puri Dham and is having a tremendous influence in people's lives. Do you know anything about him? Can you arrange an interview for me with him? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya answered that yes, he is a great king. I mean, he is a great saint. But he has already left Puri for a trip to South India. The king asked, well, if he's such a great saint, then why did you let him leave? Why didn't you somehow or other keep him here? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, this is the nature of great Vaishnavas. They travel from place to place often to purify the people of those places. Wherever the great Vaishnavas go, all the holy places are contained within their feet. They can even sanctify the holy places. Therefore, sadhus travel for the benefit of the conditioned souls of this world. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I had no power to stop him because he is the supreme independent personality of Godhead who acts at all times according to his own pleasure. King Prataparudra heard this for the first time. And he said, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I know that you are a great scholar of the scriptures with very high realizations. I know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you do not take anything lightly. You are very serious. And you do not accept anything unless it is very deeply authorized. If you say that he is the supreme personality of Godhead, then I wholeheartedly accept it with complete faith. But when will he return? My life will only be successful if for a moment I could meet with him. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, I will try my best to arrange a meeting, but because he's a sannyasi, he doesn't meet with materialistic persons. It will be very difficult, but still I will try. In fact, I heard he's returning very soon. Previously, he stayed in my house, but it is not a suitable place for him. If you, dear king, could arrange a place for him to reside, that would be of a great service. Such a place should be close to Jagannath Temple, but at the same time should be quiet, solitary, and with all arrangements for his needs. Maharaj Prataparudra, he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I know the perfect place, the house of Kashi Mishra. I will make all the arrangements. When Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told Kashi Mishra, the king's idea, Kashi Mishra was jubilant with gratitude that the Lord would be staying in his house. Soon after, Lord Chaitanya returned after about 2 years of traveling to the southern and western provinces of India. He was met by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, and others, and brought by the hand to here. Kashi Mishra welcomed him. He offered his prostrated obeisances unto Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and with tears of love in his eyes, he said, My Lord, today I surrender my life and all of my property to you. Because he surrendered everything with such sincerity, Lord Chaitanya manifested his forearm form before Kashi Mishra in reciprocation with his love. From that day, Lord Chaitanya resided here in a small room just behind Kashi Mishra's home, and that room is called the Gambhira. All the residents of Puri wanted to meet Lord Chaitanya. They were so much eager for his return. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was introducing them one by one, the pujaris, the priests, Bhavananda Rai, the father of Ramananda Rai. It's such a beautiful story, but it would take at least 12 hours to tell. to tell it in full, Anantashesha cannot explain with his thousand mouths even for the extent of a lifetime of Brahma. Hare Krishna. It's just not enough time. But soon here in Paramananda Puri arrived. Lord Chaitanya met him at Rishabh Hill and said, please come and live with me in Puri. And Purushottam Acharya, a dear friend of Lord Chaitanya from Navadvip. After Lord Chaitanya took sannyas, Purushottam Acharya became mad and he just ran away from home and took sannyas. Just in a complete state of madness. And he accepted the name Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he came here to Gambira and fell at the lotus feet of the Lord and surrendered his life. Lord Chaitanya, seeing him as his most intimate, loving associate, requested Swarup Damodar Goswami to remain with him always. Soon after that, Ramananda Rai came from South India and surrendered his life to be an associate of Lord Chaitanya here. One day, Govinda came, the personal servant of Lord Chaitanya's guru, Ishwarapuri. He said, I have come on the order of my guru to be your personal servant. Now, Lord Chaitanya really observed the etiquette of respect to Vaishnavas very carefully. He said, how? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, you are expert at the Vedic scriptures, etiquette, culture, and all the intricacies. Please, tell me how it's possible for me to accept as my servant that holy man who was the personal servant of my spiritual master. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, in matters of etiquette, the precedent is the order of the spiritual master. It is very powerful. Ishwarapuri has instructed him to be your servant. So how can you refuse? So at that time, Lord Chaitanya accepted Govinda as his own personal assistant. Kal Krishna Das traveled with Lord Chaitanya when he was in South India. But somehow or other, although he was a very obedient and well-behaved servant, he was captured by Maya one day, by the Badaharis. He was somehow or other seduced by this tantric tribe of false sadhus. Through beautiful young women, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Badaharis and grabbed Kal Krishna by the hair and dragged him back. And these tribal people, they attacked Lord Chaitanya with their tantric rites. They were chanting mantras and they picked up weapons. But the weapons jumped out of their hands and started cutting off their own limbs. And they were screaming and running. So here at Gambira, Lord Chaitanya told Nityananda Prabhu, Mukunda Dat, Jagadananda, Damodar Pandit, what to do with this Kal Krishna? He has abandoned me when he was supposed to be serving me. Now he can go anywhere he wants. He is released from any service to me as of today. And he walked out of the room. It's very harsh for Kal Krishna Das, who loved Lord Chaitanya. This was worse than death. be rejected by the Lord, to have no service. For a devotee, you take away service, you take away their life.
Your The devotees and their wives had put in preparations, just the preparations of Lord Chaitanya. And in Gambiara, the Lord Chaitanya told them that the devotees could do it.
Acharya cooked so many preparations, but his wife Sita Thakurani put it in the other room. 4 months went by. And all the preparations everybody made for almost 4 months was still in the room. It was a mountain. It practically filled up the whole room. Prasad. Govinda was feeling very uncomfortable. He said, "My Lord, with all respect, whenever they offer you, they ask me how you like it. I don't want to hurt their hearts. I don't know what to say to them. I can't just tell them it's just sitting in the room for the last 3 months. And I can't lie to them either. What should I do?" Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, bring it all in." An entire room full of prasad. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate everything. Except for the bags of Raghava Pandit. He took only one little part and he said, "For the rest of the year, give me a portion of what they have prepared." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the prasad cooked by Damayanti and Raghava Pandit for one full year, and every preparation tasted as fresh as if it was prepared seconds before by the Lord's potency, and especially by Damayanti and Raghava Pandit's devotion. Their devotion kept the prasad perfectly fresh. Even Subji's. A year later, no problem. Yes, and it was here in the Gambira that at the end of 4 months, after celebrating Ratha Yatra and having so many personal loving exchanges, doing Nam Sankirtan throughout the day, every day, that Lord Chaitanya would bid farewell to each of his devotees, give them instructions. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas when he was 24 years old. From then, he made his base in Puri. The Madhya Lila is 6 years when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although based in Jagannath Puri, sometimes traveled through South India, sometimes to Bengal, and once he traveled to Vrindavan. The last 18 years of his manifested Lila, he never left Jagannath Puri. And especially the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya's Lila, he was intimately absorbed in the ecstasies of Radharani's love. Of course, he manifested that love from the time he took initiation from Ishwarapuri when he was less than 20 years old. However, the last 12 years of his life, he was so deeply immersed in that love in separation that practically his constant companions were Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains the significance of Lord Chaitanya's Ankhya Lila as it is revealed in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. He explains that during the last years of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, Swarup Damodar Goswami was his personal assistant. And he recorded a diary describing all the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in brief. Now here in Gambira, Raghunath Das Goswami left his home in Krishnapur of Adi Saptigram, a multimillionaire, the only heir of the fortune of his entire family. A wife more as beautiful as an angel. He was young, he was handsome, he had prestige, popularity, immense wealth, luxuries, comforts, but he escaped with great difficulty and walked barefoot through the jungle for about 12 days to come to Puri to surrender his life in the renounced order to Lord Chaitanya. It was here in Gambira that that historical event took place. Lord Chaitanya entrusted Raghunath Das Goswami to the care of Swarup Damodar Goswami. He said, now I have three Raghus. Raghunath Bhatta, Raghunath Vaidya, and Raghunath of Swarup Damodar Goswami. So Raghunath Das Goswami was the personal assistant of Lord Chaitanya's personal assistant. Whatever notes Swarup Damodar Goswami wrote, he explained in great detail to Raghunath Das Goswami, who made elaborate diary. And therefore, the information that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami received from Raghunath Das Goswami was not elaborations. There was no poetic license to enhance the stories. It was the facts that were seen by eyewitnesses and written. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that these final pastimes of Lord Chaitanya he accepts as fact with complete faith. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna. Radha Bhava Dyuti Subalitam Nomi Krishna Swarupam. Who has appeared with the luster and the devotional sentiments of Srimati Radharani. There are three internal and three external reasons why the Lord appeared in this world. The internal reasons was Krishna wanted to taste the sweetness of Radharani's love. He wanted to understand what it was about him that attracted her ecstasies and what the happiness was she felt in tasting the sweetness of his love. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains that Lord Chaitanya's mood here in the Gambira was identical to Srimati Radharani's mood after Krishna left Vrindavan with Akrura for Mathura. love in separation. Therefore, Jagannath Puri is sometimes called Vipralamba Kshetra. It is the land of love and separation. Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj explains so nicely that Jagannath is in his Mahabhava Prakash. We described that for those of you who were awake the first night. And for those of you who may be awake today, we'll explain it again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Lord Krishna, in his ecstasies of separation from Radharani, the gopis, and the Brijavasis, entered into such a deep state of love that his eyes dilated, his limbs went into his body, Mahabhav Prakash. Because Krishna's heart and Krishna's body are one and the same. He was manifesting the intense ecstasies of love and separation through his bodily features. And here in Jagannath Puri, Lord Jagannath is manifesting such ecstasies of separation from Radharani. And Lord Chaitanya, who is Radharani, is revealing her Mahaprakash Bhava in separation from Krishna. Jagannath is crying for Radharani, and as Lord Chaitanya, Radharani is crying for Jagannath. It is the land of crying. That is Jagannath Puri. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed that the highest state of love of God is love in separation. And how that was revealed here in the Gambira was such that has never been seen ever before in the history of creation. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was feeling Radharani's love for Krishna after she was taken by Akrura to Mathura. Krishna, seeing his very dear devotee Uddhava, wanted to bless him. Because although Uddhava was considered the dearest inseparable friend from Krishna and all of the Yadu dynasty, he never really tasted true love, the prema of the residents of Vrindavana. Krishna sent Uddhava with a message to Vrindavan for Nanda, Yashoda, the gopas, the gopis, and especially Srimati Radharani. He sent him because he knew that there is no possibility of tasting the love of Vrindavan without associating with the gopis. Uddhava was disciple of Brihaspati, the most powerful scholar on the planet. But it isn't through knowledge that one can taste true love. It is only by following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. Uddhava went to deliver his message, but what he saw transformed his heart. What was the nature of the love of the gopis? In separation, he heard Srimati Radharani speaking to a crow that was flying overhead. Are you going to Mathura? Well, please tell your master Krishna my condition. I'm like a kept animal of your master. Now, if the house is on blazing fire, it's the duty of the master to let the animal out. Otherwise, he'll burn. Well, my body is like my house. And it's on a burning, raging fire of separation. And my soul is like an animal. But it can't escape. It can't get out. Why? Because the door is bolted by Krishna's words. He promised, I will return to Vrindavan. It is that anticipation, that expectation that Krishna will return that keeps us alive in this burning, blazing fire. Uddhava, she let Krishna just either come back and save our lives or just tell us he's not coming back so that we can give up our life. But why does he keep us in this blazing fire of separation? Radharani fell into a puddle. And immediately, she fell in water and immediately was evaporated. And that puddle was from her tears. She would cry tears and the water would go practically up to her ankles or knees. And then she'd fall and faint and the heat of her fever and separation would dry it in a second. Crying, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Has he forgotten us? Will he ever return? Uddhava was thinking, I live with Krishna. I eat with him. I sleep with him. I talk with him. I joke with him. I perform work with him. I'm always with Krishna. But I know why Krishna sent me to Vrindavan. To see what real love is. Seeing the nature of the gopis' love and separation, Uddhava came to the conclusion, I have no love. I am insignificant. I am nothing. I'm a disgrace. How can I even call myself a devotee? The only possibility of me attaining a drop of true love is for me to get the dust of the feet of the gopis. But how to do that? He's a royal prince of the Yadu dynasty, and the gopis are simple cowherd girls, not highly educated, just living in the village, carrying clay pots on their heads, milking cows, getting water from the wells and from the sarovars. He did not want to embarrass them. They would never give the dust. He would not take it. Uddhava prayed from the core of his heart. And his prayer is revealed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Let me take my next birth as a blade of grass or a little shrub, a gulmalata, on the ground in the forest of Vrindavan. And then when the gopis, in their separation from Krishna, when they run into the forest like mad ladies, one of them may possibly step on my head with their lotus feet and I will get the dust from their feet. Only then do I have a chance of understanding what real love of God is. That is the standard of Vaishnava. The intimate friend of Krishna, a royal prince of the Yadu dynasty, living in luxury and comfort, with no impediments in life, but he's willing to give it all up to be an insignificant blade of grass to be stepped on by the gopis. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is in Gambira experiencing that love of Srimati Radharani, the supermost gopi. And Radharani's two most intimate loving associates descended along with him. Lalita Sakhi appeared as Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Vishakha Devi appeared as Ramananda Rai. It is described in Srimati Radharani's love and separation from Krishna. What kept her alive was Lalita and Vishakha, chanting the praises, the pastimes, the names, and the qualities of Krishna in her ears. And in the same way, this is what kept Lord Chaitanya alive. Kaviraj Goswami tells, to understand these transcendental transformations of love that Lord Chaitanya exhibited is only possible when one receives the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. It cannot be done through academic scholarship. It cannot be understood by memorization. It cannot be understood by severe tapasya. It cannot be understood by very, very devoted sadhana. All of these things are only meant for one purpose, to get the mercy of the Lord. It's not by chanting Hare Krishna that we'll know Krishna. It's by Krishna's mercy that we'll know Krishna. But Krishna tells us how to get his mercy by chanting But it is not a mechanical process. We have to chant in such a way that attracts Krishna to be pleased with us so that he will bestow his mercy. There's no other way. You can fast nirjal on every Ekadasi. You can fast nirjal on every Ekadasi and Dwadasi and every Purnima and every Amavasya and every Chaturdasi. And every Chaturthi, you could drink a little water once a year. But you will not understand Krishna unless Krishna bestows his mercy upon you. You could chant 10 lakhs of names every day, which is impossible. But even if you did, if Krishna is not pleased with your efforts, all you'll get out of it is probably being tired and hungry. You might even be bored. Krishna reveals the taste of the holy name when he's pleased with us. The whole process of bhakti is absolutely dependent on one thing, the mercy of the Lord. The jnanis, by their austerity, the jnanis, by their development of mental intellectual discrimination, the yogis by their tapasya, by their concentration, they are trying to achieve spiritual realization. They could realize some lower phases, but love of God is not possible. Prema is only given by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, in the Gambira, taught Trinada Bisunichena, Tador Iva Sehishnana, Amanina, Amanadena, Kirjana. The Shikshastakam prayers, it's all that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wrote, and he wrote it here in Gambira. It's begging for mercy. It's praying for mercy. It's living in such a way and acting and speaking so that Krishna will be pleased to give us his mercy. The transformations of Lord Chaitanya's ecstatic love can only be understood to one who Lord Chaitanya gives his mercy to. But still, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, even though this subject is like an ocean of nectar, anyone, even us, if we just try to hear it and try to explain it, we will be touched by a particle of a drop from that ocean and become purified. With your permission, I will try to explain something that Srila Prabhupada has given us in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lalita and Vishakha, in the form of Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar, were the constant associates of Lord Chaitanya. Swarup Damodar Goswami would exactly know the Lord's mind and his heart and sing beautiful kirtan just to pacify his heart. And Ramananda Rai, he also knew the Lord's mind so perfectly and would recite slokas from Srimad Bhagavatam or repeat words from Krishna Karnamrita, the poems of Vidyapati, Chandidas, or Jayadev Goswami, just according to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. That is service. Srila Prabhupada explains there are different types of servants. Some, they're told what to do, but they don't do it. That's, third-class servant. Second-class servant is told what to do and does it. First-class servant, you don't even have to tell him or her what to do. They know and they do it. Hare Krishna. But don't think you're first class unless you are. Because we have experience of premature first class devotees. They create havoc in our lives. Better to ask. But when your love is at such a state, because now we're talking about service in love, when your love is in such a high state, it becomes one with the beloved. That was Gambira. During the last 12 years of Lord Chaitanya, he was in such deep separation from Krishna. Sometimes, throughout the day, he would just be crying with his arms around Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar. Oh, where is Krishna? And they would taste the sweetness of beautiful pastimes as described in Srimad Bhagavatam of Krishna's Leelas. And at night, they would lay Lord Chaitanya down and he would be loudly chanting the holy names through half the night. In fact, at that time, on one occasion, after Lord Chaitanya lay down, they locked the doors with bolts. There were three doors in Gambira, for the Lord could not escape. And Ramananda Rai went home, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Govinda lay down at the doorway. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for hour after hour, loudly chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Golokera Premadada Harinam Sankirtana. This is very significant. What did Srila Prabhupada give us? This Hare Krishna mantra is not just an ordinary mantra. When Srimati Radharani is in her highest peaks of ecstatic love and separation, she takes shelter of this mantra. And that was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambira. Swarup Damodar Goswami Govinda laid outside his room as all night long Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was loudly crying out, suddenly there was no chanting. Swarup Damodar Goswami somehow or other looked in the room, opened the door. Lord Chaitanya was gone. How did he possibly escape? Nobody could understand. The doors were still closed and locked. Swarup Damodar Goswami called the devotees and with lanterns began searching throughout Puri in the darkness of the night. Then, on the northern side of the Singhadwaram, they saw Lord Chaitanya laying there. They were exuberant with joy. They found the Lord. They came running. But as they came close to him, their hearts were struck with moroseness to see the condition of Lord Chaitanya. He was laying there. His body was elongated to about 8 or 9 feet. Each of his joints was dislocated. His arms, legs, waist, neck, all joints dislocated, and between the two ends of the joint were 6 inches of nothing but hanging flesh. His hairs were standing on end. Foam was pouring out of his mouth, and his eyes were rolled up in his head. No one had ever seen ecstatic symptoms like this. They were shocked. They loudly chanted the name of the Lord in his ears, but nothing happened. So with great care, they picked up Lord Chaitanya's body and brought it back here to Gambira. And there, the devotees, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Govinda, and the other Vaishnavas, just gathered very close to Lord Chaitanya's ears. They were weeping. They didn't know how to deal with the Lord in this form. All they could do is loudly cry out the holy name. After a long time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened his eyes and said, "Arivo!" Suddenly all his limbs came back together and became normal. And he looked around in a half-external consciousness. Lord Chaitanya had 3 states of consciousness that he exhibited. When he went deep into ecstasy, he became completely oblivious to this material world and entered into the Vrindavan Leela totally. That is the manifestation of his deep ecstatic samadhi. And when he would be in his normal divine ecstasies, he was still in the moods of Radharani's love for Krishna, but he was able to deal with the external circumstances of this world. And when he was just coming out of his internal samadhi state, it is called half-external consciousness, where he would speak like a madman. He looked around, "Where am I? Why have you called me here? Where have you taken me?" And he turned to Swarup Damodar Goswami very innocently and said, "What happened?" And Swarup Damodar Goswami had to explain to him the state he was in and how they had to carry him back. And Lord Chaitanya explained in one slight verse. He said, as I was laying here in my room, I saw Krishna. But then, like a flash of lightning, he instantly disappeared. Just as he said that, the conch shell blew to announce the morning aarti for Jagannath, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees immediately went to the Jagannath darshan. Because of that conch shell, the world will never know what else happened in that darshan. One night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he had the darshan of Lord Krishna. All of his five senses were totally conquered by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada explains, his eyes tasted the sweetness of Krishna's form. His ears tasted the sweetness of Krishna's flute. His nose tasted the sweetness of Krishna's fragrance. His touch tasted the sweetness of Krishna's body. His tongue tasted the sweetness of Krishna's flavor. In this way, these five tastes all took such prominent positions. It was as if they were battling one another in Lord Chaitanya's heart. And he would fall to the ground unconscious. And only Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai would know how to bring him to a state where he could again come to communicate with others. One night, they were reciting Krishna Lila and singing beautiful bhajans to Lord Chaitanya. And as half the night was ended, they laid Lord Chaitanya down in his Gambira. Swarup Damodar Goswami returned to his home. Ramananda Rai returned to his home. Only Govinda laid outside the door. As Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole night was loudly crying out the Hare Krishna mantra. Suddenly, there was no chanting. Govinda would wake up when it was quiet. He could only sleep when Lord Chaitanya was chanting loudly. As soon as it was quiet, he woke up and he looked inside. All three doors were bolted shut, but Lord Chaitanya was gone. So he immediately ran to get Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami, actually, he was the one that opened the doors and saw that the Lord was gone. Govinda just heard that there was no chanting. He was worried. So again, they got their night lanterns and went out searching. They found Lord Chaitanya in a cowshed on the southern side of the Singhadwaram. And what they saw took their breath away. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's arms and legs retracted within his trunk, just like a tortoise withdraws its limbs within a shell. There were no arms, no legs. He was just like a pumpkin. But his hairs were standing on end, and there were big erupting bumps all over that pumpkin-like body. And tears were pouring out of his eyes incessantly, and foam was was emanating from his mouth, foam and saliva. And his eyes were back in his head. What could they do? They lifted him up. They lifted up that pumpkin form and brought it back to the Gambira and loudly chanted in his ears. Actually, this was Lord Chaitanya, another form of his Mahabhava Prakash. Just like Lord Jagannath, in his ecstasy of separation from Srimati Radharani, his arms and legs go into his body. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya, Radharani, in her separation from Krishna, her arms and legs withdrew within the body. After a long time of chanting Hare Krishna in his ears, Lord Chaitanya opened his eyes and said, Harivo. And looked around. Where am I? Where have you taken me? Why have you brought me here? What happened? And at that moment, all of his legs and arms came out and he became normal. He said, I heard Krishna play his flute. That flute called me to the Vrindavan forest. There I saw Krishna in a pasture ground, calling Radharani and the gopis with his flute. He signaled to them to come, and Krishna led them into a forest bower. What I heard with my ears, the sweet sound of Krishna's flute, the sweet sound of the ornaments of the gopis, and then the sweet talking, joking, and laughing of Krishna with Radharani and gopis. And as I was enjoying those sweet sounds, all of a sudden I heard this tumultuous roar of all of you, who took me from that place and brought me here. Why have you brought me here? Swarup Damodar Goswami explained the condition that they found him at the Singhadwaram on the southern side in a cow shed. They said, Lord, when we found you there, like a pumpkin, the cows were licking your body. And we tried to chase away the cows, but the cows were so addicted to smelling your fragrance that they wouldn't leave. So we had to take you away. Lord Chaitanya said, my ears, they are dying of hunger to hear nectar. Please save my life and speak the glories of Krishna. And Swarup Damodar Goswami sang beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam describing Krishna's divine characteristics. These are just a few of the wonderful exhibitions of spiritual love that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has given us in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. One day, it was Sarat Purnima, the full moon night of the Ras Lila. They came out of Gambira, and Lord Chaitanya with his associates were on the bank of the seashore near Ayatota, close to Gundicha Mandir. Lord Chaitanya saw the ocean and mistook it to be the Jamuna River, and We heard today how he saw Chatak Parvat as Govardhan Hill and ran to it with the speed of the wind. Well, when he saw the full moon glistening on the sea, mistaking it to be the Jamuna, he ran with the speed of the mind and fell unconscious in the Jamuna. Jamuna Sea. And there, he was completely internalized in his meditation on Vrindavan Dham. Sometimes he was underwater for a long time, and sometimes the waves would just bring him up. He was just floating around, up and down, up and down. He went all the way toward the Konark Temple, which is long distance away. The devotees suddenly realized Lord Chaitanya is gone. Where is he? They were searching everywhere with lanterns. They searched throughout Puri. Maybe he's at Chatak Parvat. Maybe he's at Gundicha. Maybe he's at the Singhadwaram. They searched everywhere. They couldn't find him. Then as the night was coming to an end, they came to the horrifying suspicion that the Lord may have left the world. He may have put a close to his pastimes in this earth planet. Their hearts were breaking. Their life force was crippled. But just then, they happened to see a fisherman who was jumping around like a total madman, crying, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
The devotees had a suspicion. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, why are you so mad? He said, why you are asking, you don't want to know. While I was fishing, I pulled in with my net. I thought it was a fish, but it was a dead corpse. I tried to push it out of my net, but I accidentally touched it. And as soon as I touched it, my hair stood on end. My body started erupting with emotions. Tears started coming out of my eyes. I became mad, and the only words that would come out of my mouth are, Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
I know exactly that somehow or other, a ghost has taken shelter within that dead corpse. And anyone who looks at that corpse, anyone who touches that corpse, the ghost haunts him. I'm on my way searching frantically for an exorcist who will save me. Because after all, I'm a family man. I have a wife and children to support. Who's going to take care of them if I die? But this ghost is very powerful because I fish every night. And there's so many ghosts at night. But I chant the Narasingha mantra to protect myself and have never had any problem. But this particular ghost, every time I chant the Narasingha mantra, the power of his haunting me doubles. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, I am a famous exorcist. I will deliver you. And Swarup Damodar Goswami put one hand on top of his head, chanted some mantras, and slapped him three times. Said, now the ghost is gone. You are all right. And the man had faith. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, but can you tell me about that person? What that corpse? He said, yes, he's just laying in the sand. He said, that's Lord Chaitanya. The fisherman, he said, I know the Lord, I have seen him. This is not the Lord. This is something really, really strange. You can't imagine the horrible form that I saw. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, no, this Lord Chaitanya looks like this sometimes when he goes into his spiritual emotions. Just take us to him. He said, but if you touch him, he may haunt him. No, take, this is him. So they saw Lord Chaitanya laying there. Again, his limbs were extended, disjointed, elongated. His body, because it was in the ocean for so long, was as white as a conch shell. Foam in his mouth, hair standing on end, and every limb was just covered with sand. First, the devotees, they lifted him up and they bathed him. And then they took his wet cloth off and put on dry cloth. And then loudly, they chanted the holy name. Lord Chaitanya came to consciousness. Hari Bol. Where am I? Why have you brought me here? I was in the river Jamuna in Vrindavan. And I was observing Krishna playing with the gopis, performing beautiful pastimes surrounded by fragrant lotus flowers, singing wonderful songs and laughing in bliss. And you have, suddenly I heard this tumultuous sound and you brought me here. Lord Chaitanya as a sannyasi lived so simple. He would just sleep on the hard floor directly for years. But because of his love and separation, sometimes his body would become very thin and his limbs would be bruised. So Jagadananda Pandit, he made a nice quilt for Lord Chaitanya and told Govinda, please give this to the Lord. But the Lord, when he saw it, he said, who has given this? He said, Jagadananda Pandit. Lord Chaitanya became very quiet. He said, take it away. Next he'll want to give me a masseur and everything else. I am a sannyasi. I must live a simple life. He was very strict. But Swarup Damodar Goswami was very intelligent. He took some banana bark and shredded it very fine and took Lord Chaitanya's own outer covering and made a nice little mat. And Lord Chaitanya, for the pleasure of the devotees, accepted that. But what to do? Even though all three doors of Gambhira were bolted, still he would escape at night. So they had a plan. They guarded the doors. But then Lord Chaitanya, he would sometimes scrape his face against the walls. So they got the brother of Damodar Pandit, whose name was Shankar Pandit, and requested him to stay inside the Gambhira with Lord Chaitanya every night, all night, just to make sure Lord Chaitanya did not go anywhere. Now you see how small that Gambhira is? Can you imagine the good fortune of Shankar Pandit? But it's also a very intense service. Think about it. Being in that Gambhira with Lord Chaitanya when he was manifesting his transcendental madness of ecstatic love all night, every night. But Shankar Pandit would have Lord Chaitanya lay on his legs And he was such a great devotee, such a pure heart, that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remained peaceful. Shankar Pandit would cover Lord Chaitanya's body with some cloth in the winter. But then Shankar Pandit would sometimes fall asleep. And whenever he fell asleep, he found that Lord Chaitanya covered him with that cloth. The servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya was always most eager to serve his devotees. And Shankar Pandit became everlastingly famous as the pillow of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yes, there are unlimited pastimes of Lord Chaitanya in Gambhira. The place where he reciprocated with his devotees. The place where he organized the spreading of the Sankirtan movement throughout the various provinces. The place where he manifested the highest degree of mercy to the conditioned souls. And Gambhira is also the place where in his final pastimes he manifested the sweetest, most intimate pastimes of love for the whole world to understand. And it was here in Gambhira that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu composed Shikshastakam. Although he spoke elaborate teachings to Prakashananda Saraswati, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, how he instructed Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, with his own hand, he only left us 8 verses, the Shikshastakam. So critical. Bhaktivinod Thakur and other acharyas have given elaborate commentaries on these Shikshastakam verses. How critical they are to our lives, step by step, how to actually develop love of God by sincerely developing the qualities in which Krishna is pleased with our chanting of the holy names. From the basic principle of just chanting Harinam to purify the heart, systematically, all the way to the state of the highest ecstasies of Radharani and the gopis, are all contained within Shikshastakam. But you can't jump from one to the other. You have to pass through them all. Ainanda Tanuja Kinkaram. If we really want to beg Krishna, let me just be merciful to me, and let me just be a particle of dust at your lotus feet. We cannot offer that prayer sincerely unless we first realize Nadanamna Janamna Sundarim Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kamaye. I don't want wealth. I don't want beautiful women or men. I don't want prestige or power or great knowledge of a poet. I don't want liberation from suffering. I only want your service. And we cannot chant that sloka with a proper frame of mind until we realize Trinara Pisunichena Taror Ibasi Hishmana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadad. To be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none in return. In this way we could chant the holy names. And in order to live by that principle, Nam Namakari Bahoda Nija Sarva Shaktis, we have to have faith that Krishna is non-different than his name. We have to have faith that all of Krishna's potencies, opulences, and sweetnesses within his name. And we have to have the humility to admit before ourselves, before the world, and for God, that we have no taste for this chanting. And then progressively, we could actually attain that state. When we are begging, when will that day come? Nayanam galadashtu daraya, but when will my voice choke up and tears pour from my eyes and my limbs tremble when I chant your name, my Lord? And from that state develops the next realization. Yugayatam nimeshena chakshushapra prashayatam sunyayatam jagatsarvam govinda virahename. In your absence, Krishna, I am brokenhearted. The entire creation is like a dreary void without your sight. And then the culmination. Ashlasiva padaratam pulashtuna. We can say it, but to really feel it and understand it, we must follow in the footsteps of gopis. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the Shikshastakam, has taught us the process of how to do so. My Lord, you can embrace me, you can trample on me, or you can be broken, make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You could deal with me in any way you like because I am your servant unconditionally. That is the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the incarnation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the scripture that most exalts the supremacy of Radharani's love. Thus, our acharyas declare Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to be the incarnation of Srimad Bhagavatam, the living incarnation, who's teaching by his example how to live the Bhagavatam, by living in a spirit of humble servitude and always striving to develop deeper, deeper attachment to the association devotees, to Harikatha, to any menial service, to sharing this message with others, and to the chanting of the holy name. The stories of Antyalila of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita are so high and so deep. They are beyond the realization of any of us. But still, Srila Prabhupada, by his causeless mercy, has given it to us. We heard recently, I believe it was from Devamrita Maharaj, how at the time of Bhaktivinod Thakur, it took him years to find a single copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. That's how obscured it had become. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had four printing presses going simultaneously in four different temples in different places. He was publishing these books for the world. And Srila Prabhupada gave him that order. I mean, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave Srila Prabhupada that order. They're both Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada gave us Chaitanya Charitamrita. But he did not want us to take it cheaply. When we are reading these pastimes, we are purified, especially when we hold these narrations in great reverence, way, 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 way above our heads. We cannot touch it. We cannot grasp it. All we could do is look up to it in great awe, knowing how undeserving we are, and just pray that someday, by the mercy of the Lord, the understanding of these pastimes may descend upon us. Yes, the highest ecstasies of love of God in the universal creation were manifested in this small room called Gambhira, in the house of Kashi Mishra, where we are sitting today. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Before ending, I would like to tell a story about this deity, Radha Radhakanta. You know, there is a story of the forefather of King Prataparudra, was King Purushottam. And he wanted to marry the daughter of the king of Kanchi. But when the marriage was being arranged, but then the king of Kanchi heard that King Prataparudra was sweeping the street before Jagannath's chariot in Rath Yatra. Now, no king would ever do such a thing. So he was saying, I'm not going to marry my daughter to a street sweeper. So he canceled it. Now, Purushottam Raj was very much disturbed. This is the highest thing in my life, sweeping a street before Lord Jagannath, and he's calling me a bungee, a street sweeper? I declare war against him. So he attacked with his soldiers, and the king of Kanchi with his armies defeated him. The Ganapati Purushottam was thinking, why was I defeated? I was just fighting for the name and glory of Lord Jagannath. He was insulting a servant of Jagannath. How did Jagannath allow me to lose this battle? So one wise person asked him, did you ask Jagannath's blessing before you went to battle with him? I forgot. So then he asked Jagannath's blessing, and he received it. So then he organized his military phalanxes again and charged down to Kanchipuram. But on the way, he was wondering if Jagannath was really going to protect him this time, because he just lost the same battle, and now he had less soldiers and less military, everything. But on the way, he happened to see this lady on the side of the road selling some prasad of some sort. And she was wearing the rings of Lord Jagannath and Balaram. King Purushottam said, where did you get that? He said, two soldiers just came by and gave them to me for some yogurt. And so what did they look like? He said, one had a dark complexion, one had a white complexion. So he understood that Jagannath and Balaram were leading the charge, and he conquered the king of Kanchi. And he took three deities with him. One was Shakshi Gopal, the other was a deity of Ganapati, and the other was this deity in this temple. Now he put the deity, Radhakanta, he put Radhakanta in Jagannath's temple. Well, what happened is, after some time, Jagannath appeared in a dream to the king. This was some time later. This was now King Prataparudra. Jagannath said that whenever my prasad, whenever my bhoga is coming to me, This deity of Radhakanta is smelling it before I get it. So please take him out of this temple. Put him somewhere else. So the king didn't know what to do. So King Pratapa-Rudra's guru was Kashi-Mishra. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was his Shiksha guru. Kashi-Mishra was also his guru. So he asked Kashi-Mishra what to do. Jagannath doesn't want Radhakanta in his temple anymore. Kashi-Mishra said, I'll take him home with me. And Kashi-Mishra, according to the Pujaris here, he went and took Radhakanta by the hand and they walked together. And he put him in this temple. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, for the 18 years he lived in Puri, he personally worshipped this deity as well. Kashi-Mishra, he prayed for a benediction for Lord Chaitanya, that give me the benediction that I will have no descendants. So this deity belongs to you and your devotees. And Vakreshwar Pandit took charge of this murti. And you know that beautiful story, we love to tell it, about that one day this one very great devotee who was attached to the chanting of the holy name, he was going to the ocean side in the sand to respond to the calls of nature. But he was thinking, it's not proper to chant the holy names while I'm doing that. But he couldn't stop chanting because he had such a spontaneous attraction. So Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, he couldn't stop. So finally with his right hand, with his left hand he was holding his lota, and with his right hand he was grabbing his tongue to hold it somehow or other still. Like, Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, Hare, Hare, couldn't stop. And one little boy, tiny boy, said, what are you doing? He explained, I don't want to offend the holy name. And the boy said, don't you know that Lord Chaitanya taught us there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. You can chant anywhere, in any circumstance, and be purified. So the man let go. Hare Krishna! Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He took that little boy and he said, because you have understood the power of the holy name, you are guru. And his name was Gopal. So he became known as Gopal Guru. Later, Gopal Guru Goswami, one of the great acharyas of our sampradaya, and he took over the worship of Radhakanta. And his disciplic line of Gopal Guru is still taking charge of the worship of the deity here. Gambira is a place where the greatest treasure of love of God is expanding to the whole world. What is the gift of Lord Chaitanya? What is the gift of the six Goswamis? What is the gift? Now, the six Goswamis and Haridas Thakur, there's no mention of them ever coming to Gambira because they were so humble. They remained at Siddhabakula and Lord Chaitanya would go to them. What is the gift of these acharyas? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Srila Prabhupada. From this Gambira, we understand that we're not talking just about an ordinary religion. of an almighty God who throws thunderbolts on the wicked and promotes others to heaven. The intimate extent of the loving reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees was revealed here in Gambhira. That is the treasure of what the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya is about. When we develop even an infinitesimal little particle from a drop of understanding of who Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really was, then the thought of becoming a great yogi, the thought of liberation into impersonal Brahman, has no appeal whatsoever. In fact, it's repulsive if it distracts us away from the nectar of Vrindavan. So let us take within our heart a very grateful experience today for what we have received, how valuable it really is, and what a small price there is to receive it. But even that small price is so much for us. Do you have that experience? Lord Chaitanya came to give the greatest thing for the cheapest price. But even the cheapest price seems like so much to us, people of Kali Yuga. Chanting 16 rounds? Too much. How will I do it? Following these four regulative principles, it's just basic humanity. Too much. How will I do it? Always remember Krishna, the most blissful experience in all of existence, but it's so difficult. Let us pray here in Gambhira today that we take very, very seriously, more serious than our business, more serious than our families, more serious than our brahmachari positions, more serious than our health, our wealth, or our life. That's the price. Just to take this gift as the most serious thing. If we just do that, Krishna will empower us to overcome all obstacles. That one thing, to make our Krishna consciousness a priority. To reciprocate with the Lord's mercy as my priority in life. To take it seriously. Take nothing for granted. That's all that's required. Krishna will empower us all. Thank you very much. Ki Jai. Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Gau Premanandi.